jazz greats as Louis Armstrong, Thelonious Monk, Jerry Mulligan, and Anita O'Day. Jazz on a Summer's Day, Thursday, August 14, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Old Rockin' Chair's got me.
Old Rockin' Chair got your father.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual Portland Roots Festival, Sunday, August 10th, from noon to 8 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. The Portland Roots Festival explores the food justice movement, healthy living through nutrition and exercise, and celebrates the flavors of African diaspora food culture in an urban landscape. The celebration will feature local artists and performers, a keynote speaker, African, African-American, Afro-Latin, and Afro-Caribbean food vendors, local nonprofits, and micro-entrepreneurs.
Again, that's the second annual Portland Roots Festival, Sunday, August 10th, from noon to 8 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're listening to KBOO FM, your community radio station.
This is brought to you by KBOO members. That's you supporting us financially. And by virtue of the airwaves, www.kboofm worldwide. In points south, it's 104.3. In points east, it's 91.9. And in the Portland metro area, 90.7. More talk radio here. I'm here with my co-host.
My name is Cecil Prescott, and you are?
Celeste Carey. Good morning.
Good morning. Today is Monday, July 21st. 2014.
Okay, so there's a few things, I guess, of note. You have any announcements for?
No.
Okay,
Okay,
well, two topics to kind of discuss today. One serious, one whimsical. And the serious one, I guess I will kind of hold to the end here. The whimsical one I want to feed you first and kind of start Monday off right. Now, if I recall, today is the 45th. Well, yesterday was the 45th anniversary or birthday or however you want to call it of the moonwalk. Yes. Why are you looking at me
really,
like that?
So they really went to the moon?
I thought about that when I looked at this.
I'm sorry.
No, that's funny because I really did think about this and, you know, and all of the controversy surrounding it. But I don't want to get into the controversy. What I would love to discuss, however, is not necessarily where you were, unless you wish to share that, but a different, more whimsical perspective. The idea of human beings walking on the moon has both generated awe or national pride or flights of fancy or technological advances and what have you. But I wanted to think more in terms of personal goals. For me, it made a lot of things seem possible, whether it was the suspended disbelief that was necessary to be on a whole nother planet with the whole Star Wars franchise, I guess I'll be honest and call it what it was, what it is, but also just the thought that we had the comprehension, the apprehension, the desire to dream and reach way beyond where we were in terms of our terrestrial state of being, you know. In other words, to quote one of my favorite mottos, to the stars through difficulty. And I was curious how many other people saw the idea of the walking on the moon as a launch of personal whimsy or personal goals or personal aspirations or beliefs or just flights of imagination and taking them other places. It was something that went beyond Star Trek. It was something that went beyond dimensionality. We suddenly were no longer earthbound. We were capable of being other places and thinking of other places on a deeper level. One way also that I kind of thought about how significant it was is that we haven't walked on any other planet in those 45 years. Now, for some of us, that's almost a whole lifetime. But for a lot of young people who maybe don't recognize the fact that what was the word I was going to use? Oh, dial telephones, for example, was the technology that existed, that they live in what many of us see as the future. The idea of walking on the moon still would hold some significance because, again, we haven't walked on any other planets, and that has been our primary target. And despite having walked on it, so to speak, as a species, we still don't know what's on the dark side in terms of actually visualizing it. So I was thinking about that in terms of just something whimsical. Where does having walked on the moon take you personally in terms of imagination?
So it sounds as if one of the things people could talk about is that given the fact that that technology was available and that the desire of certain people to go there, what did it inspire in myself in terms of personal achievements or community achievement?
Community achievements beyond the everyday or the mundane. And yes, I am very well aware of how much money could have been spent on something a little closer to the human condition. You know, we still have issues with getting clean water just to people here in the United States.
Well, I'm wondering because of that time, and we're talking about in the 1960s, certainly a lifetime ago, but the launch, literally and figuratively, of the moon, the moon mission, also was a time when certainly here in the United States, for many people, was a time of possibility. So at the time of the moon mission, at the beginning of that, there was also a rising in expectations of what was possible technologically, sociologically, and politically. So at the same time, when you have that scientific or technological a goal and achievement, there was also movements within the United States of previously disenfranchised peoples and groups of saying what was possible. Ethnic and minority groups, racial groups, the possibility of women participating more fully in the U.S. experience, and also the rise of younger people. It was a time of possibility. So aligned with the rise in technological advancement was also the rise in what people believed was possible and the movements of leading up to change. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share your perspective. And let's go to a caller right now.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, 1969, I believe, was the time that the moon was walked on. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
That was also when we were really stepping up a bombing campaign in Vietnam that killed ultimately something like 3 to 5 million people.
And had far-reaching ripples, too, in terms of the injuries that we see in a lot of our older vets today.
Absolutely. And it might seem like an awkward segue to be talking about bombing Vietnam and walking on the moon, but that was actually those two events were occurring simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're speaking, there's a hospital in Gaza that just got shelled just minutes ago. And if you've been listening to Democracy Now! Earlier this morning, there was a live broadcast that Israel has begun shelling Al-Aqsa Hospital.
Yes.
So I would invite you, Cecil and Celeste, to consider that if Emmanuel Legacy Hospital was under shelling as we speak while you're doing the show, if that would be a subject of conversation, or if we would be talking about a Life magazine-type article of people walking on the moon and what that meant to us.
Well, I think the two are not disjointed. And in terms of when Celeste brought up that topic, and I think it's related to what you were saying in terms of technological advancement, in terms of a society, I think you did very well in showing us the connection between scientific technology and also the use of the military. So those things are similar. I would not only limit it to what was going on in Gaza, I would also expand the discussion in terms of talking about what's going on the southern border of the United States, what's going on in communities throughout the United States, and reflect on technological achievement and whether and how or not they are used for humanity's purposes or whether or not they're used for continued warfare.
Well, it's an interesting proposition. Let's go back a little bit further. Technological achievement was used to expedite the Holocaust, that we had railroad trains that hadn't been invented more than a few generations previously. We had IBM cards that were used to facilitate the Holocaust. But it seems a little beside the point to be making an argument about technology and rather than having a sense of humanitarian concern.
Well,
a hospital usually would get somebody's attention.
Well, it's not that it doesn't get attention. It's like you can't cover everything. And I have a very important reason for taking a whimsical topic in addition to a serious topic today. For the past few weeks, we've covered some really heavy stuff. And the other topic that I have to deal with has to deal with the conundrums of using a distasteful defense for a woman who could possibly be in jail for the rest of her life for defending herself. And so I decided to juxtapose the two. You can't cover everything. And I totally understand a person having not only a sense of grief and mourning, but outrage at the shelling of a hospital, regardless of where it is.
Please excuse my other remarks. That really got my attention.
You know, but there's so
get other KBOO listeners' attention. And Celeste, I hope that you could perhaps think about that as well. I don't know.
Well, I do think about it, but again, I'm moving ahead with what we had planned.
Okay, we're moving right along.
All right,
have a
great.
Nice day.
All right. And again, it's not that these things aren't important. As a matter of fact, one of the things I had hoped to reference with the idea of landing on the moon was, and now I've forgotten the title of the book, but maybe Cecil, you'll remember. We covered a book that dealt with 1968 and 1969 and talking about how during that time we were poised on the brink of not only possible world annihilation, but preparing to walk on the moon and dealing with the civil rights issues as well. And the man who wrote the book talked about, was it The Year of Promise?
The Year of Promise, 1963.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, there were a lot of things going on in any given point in life. And what I chose to focus on were two issues. One was, which slightly whimsical, to kind of start our week off on an idea of hope. And looking for solutions, perhaps, based on the flight again of imagination to see something better, to see something different, and then the kind of human quagmire, if you will, of a case that's taking place in Florida right now, which seems to be a hotbed for strange cases, of a woman who is. Who is depending on what I consider a most distasteful law, which is the stand your ground law for possibly being freed of charges of murder for defending herself. But we want to give the phone number, and I've got another caller here. The phone number is 503-231-8187, and we're starting off with our whimsical topic, and we'll unpack the other as we go. Going to our next caller. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I want to sort of break this whimsical notion down and going to the moon. First of all, we have to go back to Nazi Germany, because that's where it all started at. We wouldn't be in the moon, we wouldn't be on the moon if Germany hadn't invented rocket technology. So you have to go back to that era of genocide. Mm-hmm. You have to go back to militarism. All of this, I mean, really, we owe most of our technological advancement to Hitler for what came out of Germany, medically and in terms of submarine technology, rocket technology. All of that came from Hitler. So you cannot talk about progress without going back to a period of time, man, when... the Earth man was in total chaos. I mean, it came out of that.
Yeah,
I just want to keep that in perspective.
I appreciate you raising that, because and reminding us all in terms of the U.S. Rocket program, that a lot of our technology, a lot of those who participated in NASA program were had their background in Germany. That's a good point. And also raises for me at least the question that I think our earlier caller raised, was what is the balance? I mean, a lot of this technology is used for warfare, and whether or not, I mean, I think part of the hope of the 1960s and in terms of the race to the moon was that, you know, technology can be used for good, not only for warfare. And seldom is it used for good. Often it is has its foundation in militarism.
Michael?
Michael left.
Okay, folks, let's have some dialogue. Don't shoot a shot, run, you know. And whether we agree or not is not the point. The point is conversation. So we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Francis.
Hi.
Hello.
I understand why people don't want to be whimsical about this, and I'm having a hard time with that also.
Well, you know, wait till you hear the next topic, then, Frances.
69, I remember. That was the year my daughter was born.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember worrying at that time about Vietnam and about
right
people that I knew being manhandled by the police department and a whole lot of things going on. And when we went to the moon, my concern, which is my concern today, is that the technology that we have is continually used for war only. There's nothing good about it.
Mm.
I don't consider it a success unless we figure out a way to find another basis for everything that we do in our world economy that, other than war. That's, you know, the trade, the war machines, everything. There's got to be something else we could be doing with this lovely technology.
Well, you know, one of the things
that's going on in Palestine is absolutely, it's criminal. And what is so wrong about it is that Israel is doing it. And Israel has been successful at because of the world's guilt about what happened in Germany. And they're playing it now, and I don't appreciate it at all. It's really wrong. And this technology to go to the moon, within a couple of years ago, we sent some kind of a bomb or something to the moon, some kind of experimental test to see if there was water up there. And I thought, my God, we went to the moon. Why do we have to bomb the moon? And, you know, the moon is involved. To me, it's a very spiritual thing, too. It's involved with our ocean waves and everything, and we shouldn't be messing with it like that. And I don't see the successes right now, other than successes to continue being military, brutal people.
Well, so much of what you're saying, you know, I cannot and will not argue with. And it's exactly part of that whole spiritual aspect and magical, if you will, aspect of the moon that I was hoping to evoke, because, like I said, I have another topic here, which is depressing.
But you keep referring to that topic. It would be nice to know what it is.
Well, we keep getting a string of callers, and I think what I'm going to do is hold them off. But let me say this, Let me say this, Francis. One thing about technology and the dark side of technology that we seem to be intent on exploring is the fact that even something as beneficial as finding and creating places to get clean water for people,
right,
everything gets weaponized, and we cannot allow ourselves to wallow in that distasteful state. We know that's what we're capable of, and my hope was that we would focus on the other side, if you will,
right,
of our nature, at least with one thing, because we know so many things get weaponized.
Well, actually, we know it, and it's happening now.
It's happening
that's
now.
That's the problem. We can't just ignore the fact that it's happening now, and we need to talk about it and figure out a way to stop it so that we can
right, but there are
positive
other things.
Side,
there are other
side.
Things to talk about
the side that
as
cares
well.
About children.
We
cares
all
about what happens to children.
Yes,
you know, it hurts me that babies are getting killed in Palestine right now.
It hurts me that
and
babies
really,
are getting killed in the United States right now. It hurts me that
right.
people are dying right now. It hurts me that I'm taking food to people who are homeless right now. But every
right.
now and then you have to take a moment and you have to breathe and you have to focus on something positive to keep that energy going. Otherwise, we give up. Otherwise, we give up.
I understand. That's what we do. That's the only way we can tolerate it, is to do that. I understand what you're saying exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Let's technology that was gained from going to the moon, we need to start using it in a different way.
Well, we do. We do. And we need to just do more of it. You are listening to...
A lot more.
Yes.
A whole bunch more.
Okay. Well, thank you. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is one example of how technology that has been used and co-opted by warlike attitudes is being used to build community. It's like I said, you can point to any good thing and you can find probably five more uses where it's been weaponized. I'm not ignoring that fact. And maybe to the frustration of some people, this topic does not deal with something that happened and we got word of more immediately today. This topic was developed beforehand. Actually, we were supposed to have the Citizens Review Committee on, and they couldn't come. So I'm sure you would have been upset with us for having a discussion about that as well. Bear in mind that sometimes we try to prepare things, and a talk show sometimes is flexible, sometimes it's not. You know, it's the human condition. I wasn't able to make that, what would we call it, 270-degree turn.
170.
Yeah.
Not 360, not 180.
Not 360, not 180. That was a 270-degree turn. But I need to take a moment here because this is what I want to talk about, the other topic. For me, one of the most frustrating things is to have to depend on a principle or a practice or a policy or whatever that I find distasteful, something that will, to me, what is the word I want, dilute or contaminate my values. And we like sometimes, we strive for a certain amount of consistency in our lives as human beings. But there is a case that is going on, actually it's a legal situation. I don't know if you even want to call it a case that's going on right now. And people are activating around. And it's the case regarding Melissa Alexander in the hearing. This woman has received a 60-year prison sentence. She's facing for firing a warning shot to ward off her abusive husband. Now, one of the things that's really interesting about this is that this woman has been sentenced to keep her abusive husband at bay. She pulled a gun. She fired this bullet. This is a woman who's got three kids who has been dealing with an issue of domestic abuse. In Florida, however, there's an odd legal situation that indicates that while the laws are protective of homeowners, and they seem to be very protective of men, as exemplified by George Zimmerman's case, this situation of trying to save your life with a gun where no one's life is lost is twisting the otherwise convoluted Florida legal system even more. To give you a little bit more information on this, the law, or rather the judge, had sentenced her for the 60 years, just as I said, for pulling the shot, but they were able to reverse the case because there were incorrect instructions given to the jurors. So what her supporters did, the Melissa Alexander supporters did, were to refile a case and to use the not only stand your ground law, but to use the firing the warning shot law. The unfortunate thing about this law, and again, this is similar to what we're talking about right now. We had Francis talk about how technology has been co-opted by nefarious means. Well, the stand your ground law is seeking, I guess, some type of, should you call it redemption? And that they're using this law to help this woman avoid the death sentence. So I guess in, what were you going to say?
No.
Oh, okay. So I guess in the same way, we're looking at how a negative sometimes can give birth to a positive. And I want to hear a little bit more about how we deal with the fact that sometimes for the greater good, we find ourselves having to use or adopt a distasteful position or policy or value.
Well, one thing I wanted to note is that, I don't know whether or not it applies to this case. It probably doesn't. But since this case received so much publicity, that the Florida legislature and the Florida governor had since last month passed an extension of the state controversial Stand Your Ground law, which would cover warning shots. And I think that was because of this case.
So this one is a little bit more serious because it really takes us to a place within ourselves where we find ourselves battling and trying to choose the lesser of two evils. And what I wanted to ask people was where in their lives they've had to think in terms of this, act in terms of this, and how they managed not to let having to choose the lesser of two evils really corrupt their values or contaminate their view. So the phone number is still the same, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to our next caller. Thank you for holding, John.
Oh, hello. 1969, I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
I had a paper route, $1.75 for a full month's prescription for a paper.
$1.75 a month? That's how much the paper got? Oh, I see. I didn't know what.
All right. Uh-huh. So, okay, but just go on. Employment, around 2%. Detroit, booming. You know, Chevrolets, Fords.
Burning gas is something like 33 cents a gallon.
And all that. Mm-hmm. Gasoline, 31 cents a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Four loaves of bread for a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
People were very optimistic, despite the Vietnam War, whatever. You could get a house for like $200 a month mortgage, you know, car payment, $75, you know, even if you work minimum wage, you could get a, you know, flat and a 59 Chevy. People who now and even back then, I mean, tuition, you could go to a community college for $60 of three terms, you know, for a couple terms. I mean, everything was accessible. Everything, and that's, people were very positive despite the war. Well, the war was getting protested and stuff like that, but it was the peak of the golden era, like Greece had their golden era. It was America's golden era.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was taken away. And people said, why is it taken away? By sneaky politicians. You know, I mean, I think everything started in 1981, January 20th, inauguration of Ronald Reagan. So, right after that, I mean, it's just 69, really positive, 20 years later, perpetual war and poverty. And the downside of everybody, I don't care if you're a lower class, middle class, that's it. Party's over.
Well, I think you raise a very good point in pointing to that year, and certainly late 60s, late 70s, that was the height in terms of a number of things. You mentioned the sense of prosperity that all people could participate in. We had relatively low unemployment rate, and the possibility of home ownership was very real.
Inflation hadn't really raised its head as much either.
Part of the problem that happened at this point in time was the course of the war,
mm-hmm.
and other factors started to come into fact. In the early 1970s, you had the I'm talking about Palestine and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You had the war, the gas crisis in the early 70s. And things, I think you're quite correct, took a downturn from that period. So that was the height of the post-World War II era. Maybe it was a golden era, and certainly since the beginning of Reagan, things have been going down.
Well, like in 69, also you had even the media more progressive. Yeah. And like you started, before there was politically correct, you're starting to have movies going out that would, you know, like expand, you know, other people's lives, you know, like Little Big Man,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I remember going to the movies, and not quite, I was in a rural area, but you got exposed to a different, you know, thoughts, you know, et cetera. And it was just that people were more, you know, what do you call it, expanding on other issues. That's all.
Excellent.
And now, I don't know what's going on now. Really, I'm really kind of out of the loop in some ways. That's the only reason, one of the main reasons I've listened to K-Boo, because the only ones are talking about something other than Dancing with the Stars, you know.
No, I totally get you. And, you know, we had a man, last name Berman, I think it was, that talked about the dark ages of the empire. You know, and basically what we are seeing is also the result of just empire overreach. We have leaders and politicians who were very greedy and wanted everything and have no problem at all with the rest of us breathing and eating their remains. You know, they're cast off, they're crumbs. And so here we are trying to resurrect dreams and look for places for whimsy and hope amidst the giant soot clouds. What can I say?
Yeah, well, it was a, you know, a time everybody that was, you know, was more, I don't know, looked to the
hopeful
future. Everybody thought they'd be flying cars by year 2000.
Exactly. We looked at the Jetsons.
Legal by 1970. You know, I mean, when I was 15, it was just nothing but positive. I mean, sure, there were other things going on, but then they were being addressed.
Well,
And
yes.
Now, I mean, they're letting our major cities just crumble and you know, forcing people onto...
We bail out corporations and we let cities and people die.
Oh, yeah,
die.
I know.
And we let the
cities
die.
Sort of, yeah, so it's some sort of justice. That's all I'm saying. And
yes,
it's kind of interesting, this whole Middle East coming up. I know, because it's so disgusting, but 1973, you know, that's where really everything turned. Well, you know, you went from 30 cents a gallon to, you know, 55 cents, and everybody was on the freak.
And by 79, we were in rationing.
Yeah,
there it was.
Exactly. So, yeah, 69 was probably the turning area. That was the height, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you for your call, but
okay, well,
be optimistic. Remember the fun that you had with that newspaper route.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBOO. Coming up at 9 o'clock is the OMO Variety Hour. We invite you to stay tuned for your community radio stations here.
Mm-hmm. News, views, and reviews?
And reviews.
There we go. That's
overviews,
what's coming up.
Or something. New views.
Previews.
Previews, reviews.
Okay.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187.
Good morning, Anna.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Something, just a couple of short comments, but one thing is to keep in mind that peace is not profitable and wars make money.
That's true.
And it's all about M-O-N-E-Y. So that's there. And the technology thing, to me, the hype of technology, personal technology, is the telephone.
Mm. Why? Tell me more. I mean, because we're using it now.
When you talk with someone, mm-hmm. You can kind of feel them. You can hear the inflections in their voice, and you kind of get an idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And on that cold little slate, someone can say anything.
That's true.
So you think
I think the NSA has been a wonderful thing to find out about.
So I want to ask you about the telephone, because it seems as if you advocate him to use the telephone to speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
But no, to speak. I mean, a lot of people use their devices, you know,
to text. Yeah.
But it sounds like you prefer speaking.
Well, yeah, I guess I'd rather deal with people. You know, I'd rather call, if I have something to deal with a business or anything, I'd rather deal with the person than the menu.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, could you tell me about how old you are?
Well, I'm old enough to realize that we have been totally duped.
Okay.
And I also, I just feel like we are taken to the cleaners And all I can say is God bless Edward Snowden.
Okay.
And there he sits.
Okay. And there he sits. But yes. We are beholden to him regardless of how we feel
exactly.
about technology, because he was able to pull the curtain back for a brief second.
Yes, and I knew this about technology, but he affirmed it. He confirmed it.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and bless him for that. And so I told my kid that I don't need all that fecal matter. You go ahead and play with it.
Okay.
I don't want it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Adam.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I would had my finger on the button just then. I thought it was interesting because she talked about communication
uh-huh.
style, and the reason I asked for her age was because I suspected that if you communicate with someone her children's generation,
mm-hmm.
they would have used the argument that they would prefer just to text somebody. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it was just in terms of different styles of communication, and I'm not sure one is better than the other. I'm sure our grandparents would have preferred to talk about how things went downhill when radio and telephones came into...
Especially talking movies.
Talking movies, so...
Yeah. Because a bunch of people sat in a dark room.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Our numbers are... But our room has light.
Yeah.
And we're using technology, so give
yeah.
us a call at 503-231-8187. We began talking about the moon, but...
And looking at the whimsical side, the spiritual side, something that lifts us out of our present condition and focusing on kind of the negative aspects. And then the other one is not so much the case of Marissa Alexander, who was defending herself from an abusive spouse, but the fact that she, her whole life and her family depend on what is pretty much a distasteful law. And so we're looking at how we sometimes have to choose the lesser of two evils. For our safety's sake, our sanity's sake, maybe something else, and how we do not allow ourselves to be contaminated by that. And maybe this whole show, and for some people, the choice of topics as opposed to another one might be one of those moments. But share your thoughts with us. The phone number again, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to Mark. Thank you for waiting, Mark.
Good morning. Thank you, Celeste and Cecil, for emphasizing pluralism, that economics should be pluralistic and not monolithic. Vancouver, Canada has 26 community centers, some with swimming pools that take your breath away. You can see them on the internet. And they really make all the difference. They have a cushioning effect, a multiplier effect in before Reagan, the Carnegie Community Center in the poorest part of Vancouver was bursting with classes and with counseling
mm-hmm.
opportunities. To me, the community center could be a third way beyond the state and the market. To me, neoliberalism turns out to be authoritarian. We're always benefiting financiers and speculators and allowing workers and students, seniors, to fall by the wayside. The trade agreements are a good example, and
mm-hmm.
because investor protection seems to trump everything else. It seems to trump social, environmental regulations, financial regulations,
personal finance, because debt can be public. What is it? How do they say it? Debt becomes publicly spread out. I can't. All of a sudden, the phrase left me. It's when you take a private debt and you make it public, like we're paying for a new sports stadium, for example, when the people who own the team should be doing it.
Yes. What a great perversion it is to convert private losses into public losses.
Yes.
you know, to make all taxpayers responsible and to allow the speculators to be free. Now, actually,
So wait a minute, Mark.
Schools were expanded for some reason, mm-hmm. and we have to find our way to a new reality where the financial sector is shriveled and the public sector is expanded. You know, we have to learn from other countries. We have to. Vancouver, Canada also has a computer-operated light rail called the SkyTrain. No conductor. It's all on computer, goes through the whole city, and it's hardly failed since 86. So this is a technological wonder and a reason to go up there.
So now, but here's my question, though. I can see what you're saying about some of the benefits of dreaming and thinking big, but I want to make sure that when we're talking about some of these technological wonders and spending of the money properly, that we're talking about also maintaining the usefulness and the connectedness of people.
Yes.
Because I would love the idea of a computerized system taking care of us, but what about the person who lost their job? So where are the people in this?
If you can eliminate the cap on Social Security,
mm-hmm.
'Cause right now people only pay on the first 107,000. So mm-hmm. if they make 5 million, they only pay on that 107,000.
Right.
If you can remove that cap, then you can create public spirit. You can create a trust between the generations, you know, and a kind of a confidence in the future. I don't think you can do it just with magic thinking or just with phraseology.
That's true.
You know,
dreaming, inspiring action.
Yes, and in learning from our friend and our neighbor that Vancouver is part of our hemisphere, and we have a concrete example. This isn't just a theoretical example. A concrete example of public spending or infrastructure investment that makes a tremendous difference. But I guess when you're so rich, you're just looking for markets and not friends or teachers.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. And you're not even really looking for customers, you know, because what a customer, you'd like to have a relationship with them. But the way you put it, you're right. It totally depersonalizes that whole transaction, and you're just looking for a market. A faceless
crisis,
market.
Crisis and chance are represented by the same Chinese letter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are many people, there are many right-wing think tanks which are spending great energy in trying to convince us we're not in a crisis.
Yep, that's true.
You know. So thanks for your energy and your passion.
Well, thank you for reminding us of the value of dreams made real by people for people.
Very good. Absolutely.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey.
And technology.
And technology. So let's go to our next call, Betsy.
Good morning, Betsy.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. It's great to hear you guys. I don't always get to tune in, and it's really, I love the fact that you're there and having this conversation. And I wanted to just offer an observation, particularly in relation to the, not this most previous caller, but the one before. And, you know, the difference of so many social conditions and so on back in the 60s and early 70s and so on. I think one thing that we forget, you and I and people of a certain age, is that we were young then.
Mm-hmm.
And optimism in the future is a characteristic of young people. It's a characteristic of youth. And now we're coming into the later years of our own lives, and we're seeing the decline of our bodies and of our friends, and we're we have a shorter future ahead of us. And I wonder how much that influences our lack of faith in the future, and our lack of faith in young people today.
Yes.
You and I, or I shouldn't say you, because you guys are awesome and doing a lot more than I am, but I'm not young, and I'm not spending all of my days with young people. I have kids. They're wonderful. They are hopeful. They are visionary. They do care. And the way that they are, and perhaps their peers and their generation is going to deal with kind of the mess that we're handing them is not going to look the same way that you and I dealt with it in the 60s. It's just not, their modalities are different. Their vision is different. It's their future. And I think it's easy sometimes for some of us to forget that.
I appreciate you sharing. I was wondering, I think it's very important to first remind us of who we are in our age, and also to recognize generational differences, mm-hmm. and the ability, a part of being young is looking towards the future. I'm wondering, in your interaction with your children and other young people, I'm wondering whether or not, although the optimism may be a character of youth, I think it might manifest itself differently these days, because if you go back to the 60s, the optimism was also based on an economy that we thought was expanding. We still thought of desire or belief that the future was ours, that our children, our parents thought their children would be able to have a better life than they are. I wonder if it's different now, where those who are parents of adult children do not have that same sort of optimism or belief that their children's life will be better economically or socially than their own.
I think, you know, as a parent myself, I don't, and my life, I'm one of that cusp generation. My life is not better than my parents' life. Mm-hmm. You know, I struggle more, live in more modified circumstances than my folks did. And so on. And my kids may also be on that decline curve, but I'm not sure that economic expansion and, growing images of a chicken in every pot are necessarily what they're holding out. They see where that led us.
Mm-hmm.
They see, and so there's so much creative thinking going on among younger people, but it in some ways it's beneath the radar. Mm-hmm. They aren't doing big marches out in the street. I mean, we had Occupy, which was fantastic, but then it isn't cohering in an enduring mass, highly public movement the way it did 50 years ago or 40 years ago. But I think that there's a change coming up that's like, grasses and flowers growing up through cracks in the pavement. Mm-hmm. And we're, some of us who are older may be missing that.
Yes.
And may be expecting that it has to look the way it looked to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My kids don't expect, they don't have the optimism that, I mean, when I was growing up, it was like, yeah, you went out, you stuck your thumb out, and you hitchhiked around, you did things, and you knew you'd land on your feet. You knew you'd, eventually get some kind of a job. Who knows what kind of a job, but, you'd land on your feet. And, of course, today there isn't quite that same. I think the freedom of spirit is finding its way differently. One of my kids is absolutely optimistic about that. He's absolutely sure that, he doesn't want to go to college. He says, why should I? Look at my sister. She's $60,000 in debt and she can't get a job. Why do I want to do that? I've got a job, and his job is, under the table right now. So they're finding their way a little differently than we did, but I think we need to trust them. We need to empower them. We need to support them. Of course, we need to keep providing education, and rather than eroding education. But education that doesn't train them to be what we were or train them to build the world that we built. You know, they
absolutely.
They're going to deal with climate crises that we
can't imagine.
Imagining.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to deal with population shifts and population movement and, you know, and global disruption in a way that we didn't.
I hate to cut you off because you're talking about the positive things that we do need to do in terms of investing in our next generation. But thank you for calling and reminding us that things look a little bit different for the future.
Yeah,
thank you.
A lot, you guys.
And you know, have faith also that even though we may be handing our younger people a mess, the fact is that the world that they're growing up in, they know a lot more about manipulating than perhaps we do because they are coming of age in it. And like our last caller said, have some faith in them. You know, trust that you did your job well.
Well, I'm wondering, and I appreciate that last caller because she raised a number of points. One is that our vision can be so myopic.
Yes.
And also to recognize and appreciate all transitions, life transitions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think any generation was a perfect generation.
Haven't seen it yet.
That every generation hands the succeeding generation a mess.
And the keys to the car with some gas in it. Forgive the metaphor.
and we learn to deal with it.
That's right.
I also appreciate what I gained from the last comment was the recognition of the genius of the resiliency, of the creativity of people of each generation, and for us to get out the way and let them be. And so, you know, I like to remind people of a certain generation who talks about younger people.
Mm-hmm.
Did you forget you were young?
Apparently some folks maybe weren't. We have one more caller. Good morning, David.
Hey, David.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your show very much, and I listen to you guys all the time. I rarely get to get to the phone in time to give you a call. But, you know, lately I know all the problems that we're facing, and it's awful. But, you know, that time, I was very lucky to be just the right age when the moon landing happened. You know, I was 9 years old, and so that was like being a kid and watching the moon landing, and it changed me, and we were all about science in those days, and I just have such fond memories of the 60s because it was all about, people were talking about solutions too, and I really I know all the problems. We need to focus on solutions, and it sounds maybe a little silly and whimsical, but lately I've been reading some history.
And you have one minute to.
Okay, what it is I would like you and your listeners to explore Atenism. And it is a real legitimate, it was an ancient religion, but what it is a focus on the supreme force in our lives, which is the sun and the power of the sun.
Okay, and what does that call again?
It's called Atenism, A-T-E-N-I-S-M.
Okay.
Google it.
All righty, well, thank you so much. For your call and for the hint. We want to give you a big hint. Stay tuned. This is your community connection where we talk it out electronically over the fence, if you will. Stay tuned because we have coming up at 9 the Old Mall Variety Hour. And then 10:15 Locust Focus, 11 o'clock Health Watch. 11:30, Health and Healthcare Forum. And thank you all KBOO members for your support for community radio. If you're not a member yet, you can still become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. Stay connected, communicate, share, dream, and do.
wants you. Yes, you. Are you excited about the new possibilities for local independent media? Are you ready to help KABU reach out and grow stronger in the community? We're looking for candidates for KABU's board of directors, and we've extended our search through July 31st. So if you'd like to share your skills with the people who share your values, download a copy of our board candidate package at kboo.fm. Or you can pick up a copy at the station during business hours. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. July 31st, so don't delay. And we look forward to seeing more of you at KABU.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Good morning.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, Portland's only community-owned and democratically run radio station. Welcome to the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm Tom Becker. Joe Clement is our engineer. The Old Mole is dedicated to bringing you different perspectives on history, culture, politics, and current events than that of the corporate-owned conventional news media. Today on our program, Bill Resnick will be talking with Gwen Sullivan, who's the president of the Portland Association of Teachers, and Elizabeth Teal, an activist teacher. This is the first part of a two-part interview that discusses the teachers' contract struggle with the Portland School District and how the teachers are planning to follow up after winning a contract that put them in a position to build more engaging schools and curriculum. Joe Clement talks with Karen Carr about something called the Portland Free Store. Is that to be taken literally? Our Left in the Law team, Jan Hawken and Mike Snedeker, will be discussing the recent California court decision that found the state's death penalty to be unconstitutional. And concluding our program today, Jan Hawken returns talking with Carla Castaneda and Perla Alvarez with Momentum Alliance, an organization that runs a summer camp called We Are Brave for Underrepresented Youth. Now here's Bill.
Gwen Sullivan and Elizabeth Teal, welcome to KABU.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Gwen Sullivan is president of the Portland Association of Teachers. Elizabeth Teal is a